A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Sans Pants Radio. Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Fright Night. Fright Night is a 1985 American horror film written and directed by Tom Holland. It follows Charlie Brewster, who discovers that his next-door neighbour, Jerry Dandridge, is a vampire. When no one believes him, Charlie decides to get Peter Vincent, a TV show host who acted in films as a vampire hunter, to stop Jerry's killing spree.
This is a rare treat on this show because we are so often deprived of films that are horny.
And that's a lie.
This tickled an itch.
That is such a lie, Sean. This
tickled an itch we didn't know we had. We didn't know we liked horny films. And here we are, the horniest film maybe I've ever seen.
But then how many times have we said the horniest film
I know
ever?
We watched, honestly, Horny Boys.
We're going to do an episode where we just rank the Friday. Horniest films ever.
The Venn diagram of horn and scares is the surf. Yeah.
They are very comfortably living together.
Yeah, kind of like Bill and Jerry.
Yeah. Fuck, I love this movie.
Oh, mate.
I love a vampire movie. This may be the best one I've seen. I loved it so much.
That is huge.
Yeah, it's huge, but Tom, it's a 5-star movie.
It is a 5-star movie.
Fuck, it was good.
It was charged.
It was charged.
So horny, but so good. So funny. Tense as well.
The pacing was actually like the idea that your neighbor's a vampire and you're going to have like him discovering that his neighbor's a vampire. I thought that was going to be the whole plot line. Like a Rear Window, but vampire.
Yeah.
That happens within the first act.
Yeah.
The first act turn is him going, all right, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
It escalates quickly, and then it just never stops after that, really. And
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, this is a classic.
Yeah.
People love it.
Big time. I watch it every year.
Yeah. Like, I thought it'd be corny and fun, and it is.
Oh, very much.
Like, it very much is. But also, you can tell watching it that Tom Holland loves Dracula and loves horror and cares about... And again, we've talked this so many times, that the filmmakers in this genre love this genre.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just see it. It drips with so many fluids, but it also drips with the love and care for horror.
Yeah. It's like I thought it was a love letter to Hammer films in particular.
Yeah. Oh, like, heaps.
So for our Peter Vincent character.
Killer Peter Vincent.
Peter Vincent. Obviously, the Vincent's there. He is Vincent Price.
Yep. And Peter Cushing.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's a combo of two of the greats.
Oh,
just
so good. So perfectly cast.
Yeah.
And so perfectly played, where he's played as a dick. And then he has these moments towards the back half of the film that are just so sincere.
Oh, and he has that moment where he says he's afraid and he's telling Charlie, no, I'm scared.
Yes.
That's fucking nice.
It's beautiful. Can I give you a little history on this, on the writing of this from Tom Holland? So he was working on the script for Cloak and Dagger, a 1984 movie. And basically, he was amusing himself with this concept of the idea of a horror movie fan who becomes convinced his next-door neighbor was a vampire, which is just a killer premise.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. But he didn't think that premise was enough to sustain a story. So that thing we talked about before, you've got a nice idea, but what's the actual meat of the story? Because he was sort of thinking, what's he going to do? Everyone's going to think he's just insane, that he's just a loser. A loony, I mean. So this story percolated in his mind for like a year until he was discussing it with John Byers, who was the head of story department at Columbia at the time. And in that conversation, he figured out what he would do. He said, of course, he's going to go to Vincent Price.
Yeah.
And so the minute he had the idea of this Peter Vincent character. He says he had the story because Charlie Brewster was the engine, but Peter Vincent was the heart.
Oh, yeah. But he is.
Absolutely. I mean, Charlie, I'd take Charlie or leave him, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a wet blanket, isn't right. he?
I mean, he has the opportunity to have sex with his girlfriend at the start, and he's too busy just getting his big old binoculars out and looking at a vampire.
Sex that he is excited for.
Yes.
Like, he's the one who's like, oh, come on, man. And she's like, okay. And he's like, great. And then he's like, oh, there's someone moving a coffin outside. Buddy, don't worry about coffins. Right.
As she slowly pulls her shirt back on.
Yeah. Right. Like, he's bullying her for sex 1 second.
Yeah.
What a prick.
He deserves to have his heart broken by Raylan Givens in 20 years.
That's a deep cut.
It's a deep justified cut.
It's a true justified cut. Yeah. This is obviously Brewster is played by the actor who plays Gary Hawkins.
Yeah, look, Tom, he was a dick and it was justified.
Before we get, like, we're on the Peter Vincent train and he's really important, but obviously the hero, well, not the hero. The hero of our hearts and the villain of the movie.
It's the hero of our loins.
Oh my God. Oh my Chris God. Sarandon as Jerry.
Jer-Bear.
Holy shit.
Jercula.
What a fucking horned up man.
He is a fucking sexy man.
He is.
There is a bit because, Tom, we've seen the remake.
Yes.
And in that, the vampire, Jerry doesn't have like an assistant type character, a familiar living with him. So when that guy opened the door, I was like, oh, is this the vampire?
Yeah, you were so disappointed.
I was really disappointed. Not that that guy's an ugly man.
No.
But he didn't radiate any kind of sexuality. So
I'm not going to be tricked into murdering my friends for him.
For a couple of minutes, I was really let down.
You were disappointed.
And then, oh, I mean, this guy, he's got everything. It's so funny. There's a lot of cush in Jerry as well, I think. And it's mainly the outfits.
Yes. Yeah.
And the... You just look at him and go, you would have sex with everyone.
It's just, it's the sex appeal with everybody. With the mum, with the guy he's living with, with the girlfriend. Like, if he
with
wants,
the camera.
Yeah, with the camera.
With us.
Like, with us, with Charlie even. I think there's one point where Charlie's kind of like enamored. Like,
why wouldn't you be?
Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Great casting.
Oh, 100%. It's the best, like, he and Roddy McDowall.
Yeah.
Perfect. Best casting.
Yeah.
What a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Charlie's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Do you reckon this movie would have had the staying power if it wasn't for those two performances? Like, watching this movie, you often see these kind of goofy, spooky 80s films.
Right.
And sometimes they treat themselves a bit too seriously. But Sarandon and McDowell both know exactly the film that they're in.
Mm.
They know exactly what level of camp to bring to the film. But they're also taking it seriously.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
They know like when to pull
perfect,
back.
Yeah, it's the perfect blend of, like, this is ridiculous and I'm goofing around. But also, I'm going for it.
Yeah, I'm
going
to give you some quality acting over here.
Sarandon's performance is, like, perfect. Just the subtle little things that he does.
Yeah.
The little looks he gives. And then the looks of rage when he's, like, bested. The cackles.
Oh, yeah.
The bit when they go to the final showdown and he storms out into the thing, stands behind that stained glass window and is like, welcome to Fright Night. And then there's just that long 30-second pause and he just goes... For real. Like,
he rips a maniacal laugh as well.
Yeah.
He's got it. Like, he's an excellent Dracula-esque character. Yeah. Like, I could watch a whole series of this version of this character. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
If Dracula existed in the 80s, he'd be Chris Sarandon.
Yeah.
Like, that's just it. He would wear a leather trench coat.
Yeah.
He'd wear some sweaters and he would get horny in the club.
Yeah. This movie was already a 5, but then towards the end, it just escalated. Like, the transformations and the effects and the gore was wild.
Yeah.
Like, today it would be CGI stuff, but this was all just, like, prosthetics and...
Yep.
Goo.
Yeah, the goo.
So much goo.
Green goo. for no real reason.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, another couple of facts I've got. So, one on Sarandon, with his character, Jerry Daniels, always eating apples, right?
Yeah.
So, that was his idea. So, basically, he was researching vampire lore. He knows what he's doing. And he concluded that basically Jerry has a lot of fruit bat in his DNA because vampires have this connection to bats. So he's just going to be eating apples all the time.
Ah, that's such a sexy choice too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. And then another one I've got about Roddy McDowall. So cast and crew have both recalled that Roddy McDowall throughout this whole filming was videotaping these extensive on-set behind the scenes footage. He just took it upon himself to do this.
Yeah, okay.
None of them have seen the tapes, and their whereabouts remain unknown.
Roddy! What are you doing, Roddy?
I love that.
I love it. This set was just... It was cooked. And also, like, Tom Holland was saying that while he was filming this, because there was these other movies getting made, I think The Slugger's Wife was one, and Perfect was another one. So no one was really paying attention to him on the lot. Fright Night could just kind of do whatever it wanted.
Yeah. So it shows.
Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, and exactly, it shows.
Yeah.
Like, it starts at 150 and it just never
goes to 10,000.
Oh, yeah. It never slows down.
Yeah.
What I love is you've got like Roddy is the washed up actor with more talcum powder in his hair than any man has ever put.
Yeah, it's great.
And I don't care. Yeah, I love it for. I love it more.
If he gets knocked around, you can see it flying out of
his hair. He's leaving a trail of it behind him.
No, it's powered like the kids sort of in it a decent, like Charlie Brewster holds his own.
Yeah, he's fine.
The Amy's quite good.
Amy's good.
But yeah, the fact that you've got the whole movie built around the pillar of Sarandon's Jerry and Roddy's Peter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so fucking powerful.
Yeah.
You know, you go through the annals of great horror pairings and you've got Cush and Lee.
Yeah.
And you've got Price and Lee.
Yeah.
and you know, you've got McKellen and Lee. Yeah. But honestly, Sarandon McDowell.
Oh, I wish they'd done more together, mate. Honestly, they're great.
It's perfect. They are perfect.
Yeah.
Everything about this movie is perfect.
Well, not let's talk about Evil.
Oh, Evil Ed.
Yeah. Ed. Fuck that cunt.
Oh, hated him so. Like arguably perfectly cast.
I mean, yeah, if that's what you wanted.
You're meant to hate him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I'd love to see the actor, and does he actually cackle that much to himself? Because I wanted to punch him.
Yeah, I wanted him to die.
Oh yeah, you're so cool, Brewster.
Oh, fuck him.
Oh, mate. I think almost too well done, really. Yeah.
But then when Jerry's following him and says, "Take my hand," that's a nice scene. And I didn't hate him in that moment, probably because he was shutting his mouth and not talking.
No, but I think the idea is that he's not really friends with Charlie. They're both just kind of losers.
Yeah.
And Ed's kind of like a lonely weirdo. Like the reason, like you watch that movie and the reason he goes to Ed for help about the vampires is because he's like, well, you're the weird kid who fucking believes in vampires. And like even just like the throwaway thing where he keeps calling him evil and he gets so upset. He's like, don't call me evil.
Yeah.
It's not my fucking name.
Yeah.
So you know what? His heel turn, I'm on board with. Because again, Jerry's so charming. And it's just like, it's actually kind of nice. You get that little bit where he's like, I know what it's like.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to be no one likes you.
Yeah.
You take my hand, no one will ever bully you again.
Yeah.
No one will ever beat you up.
It has these little seeds of genuineness amongst literal matters. And like, again, Tom Holland knew it was mad. So he said that he basically, once he had the idea of this guy going to this Vincent Price type character, he basically wrote the thing in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And he says that throughout the whole thing, he was laughing the entire time. He says he was literally on the floor in hysterics, kicking his feet around. Because he's had such a good time writing the script. And like it shows because it is such an amusing, wonderful, just out there kind of a movie. But grounded in these moments of, like we said, true genuineness, like that moment, where he takes Evil Ed's hand and you know, there's a bit of an allegory there for the fear of homosexuality at the time, that sort of thing.
Yep.
As well as then, when Peter Vincent's character admits to his fear and he kind of drops the persona for a second.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Just a second.
Yeah. He's back in a minute. Then he almost like, I love it also because he puts the character back on, but completely.
Yeah.
Like he needs to be that character to keep going and to do this.
Doesn't he just show up and he's like, Peter Vincent reporting for duty.
Vampire killer. it's a really nice touch of those like subtle moments. There's a beat too when I think... When Jerry confronts Charlie at his home that first time, when Eva's like, you'll be fine because he won't get invited in. And then, of course, the mum's invited him around for a drink.
Yeah, that was nice.
And that incredible shot of just the shoes and then the hand with the ring leaning out of the chair. Yes. And then he slowly rises up and it's like, you sexy son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
But there's that throwaway line that he makes. He's like, unlike me, you'll have a choice. So it's like, it's that great thing of like, all vampires are cursed. They have to feed on blood and kill people and... Mm-hmm. They live forever and it's depressing and it's lonely and it's also very horny.
Yeah. So I do want to talk about Charlie just for a second. Not so much the character, but the position he's in. Because actually, again, part of the great idea of this concept is if you did find that your neighbor was a monster of any kind, how do you get people to believe you? Especially when it's obviously supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that take. And also like it's part of the reason why Charlie is a wet blanket, because it's that classic thing in horror where he knows something no one else does and can't get anyone to believe him. Like you do start to go a little insane. And I thought this movie did a really good job of exploring that more so than maybe some other horrors we've seen. Like I said, partially because it happened so early. So he has to try and start doing things about it and have that try-fail cycle before he, you know, starts to get a win or two.
Yeah. I think the remake from memory, Tom, is not as successful with this. Like it doesn't really bother. I think that one accelerates pretty quickly, but never really tries to have him be like, I think this is happening, and he gets knocked back.
Mm.
Because I think in that, Colin Farrell's Jerry is not as patient.
Right.
It just escalates and goes from there.
Mm. I haven't said
there it. There might so be like long. One or two little beats where someone's like, don't be silly or whatever.
Yeah.
But like once it goes, it goes. Whereas this one, yeah, Jerry's happy to just sort of play, isn't
he? Right.
One exactly. of you guys pointed out, because I was like, just fucking kill the mum as well. Like, why not? Mm. And you're like, no, but then he has to move again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just sort of got himself set up. He, yeah. Doesn't want to have to move around so yeah. much.
It's moving as a vampire would be a fucking nightmare. You've got to take a coffin with dirt from your hometown in it.
Right. From your home base.
You can only do stuff at night. You've got to find somewhere like big enough that you can store all of the shit you've accumulated over a millennia. Yeah. Set up all your clocks.
Yeah.
Needs to have a good basement. Needs to have somewhere where you can put a portrait of your dead wife who's been reincarnated as a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Which raises some... There's a couple of question marks there.
Yeah.
There's a couple of... Is Jerry super horny for a teenager?
Yep.
But, and look, he is. And that's, it's a good thing he's the bad guy and he dies.
Right. Because the answer is a ringing yes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. But it's weird because he seems to want Amy more to mess with Charlie. So yeah. they do have the portrait thing and it's like, you remind me of someone from long ago.
Right.
But he doesn't really seem to be that into it.
No, like he's got her around his finger on the dance floor in the club. And if anything, pulls her back from...
Pulls her up.
Pulls her up.
Yeah.
There's nearly a blowjob on the D floor.
Yeah. Jerry's like, no. Such none is of his that. Power. Yeah.
I'm gonna suck on you.
Mm. That is a wild and sexy scene. Because he doesn't talk.
Yeah.
It's just all
he does,
looks
mate, with his body.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing, like, this is the great thing about it is when he's stalking them and he's just appearing in the street, it's kind of spooky. But that scene he is in full predator mode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's literally stalking her like a shark. He's fucking jawsing her. He's like moving through the crowd. And then all of a sudden he's just there. And he just takes her hand, leads her out onto the dance floor.
Dancing, she sees herself in the reflection, but not him.
Yeah.
Freaks out, but then snaps back in because she's horny.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I love the sort of mesmerize, again, that vampire lore of him almost being able to hypnotize people.
It's like that glamour sort of thing.
Yeah, because like obviously at first she is scared of him. They're running away. And then she's... caught in the, and then this little smile starts to creep on her face. Like,
yeah,
you buy in. Like, she believes she wants him, you know.
And then I tell you what, when he bites her neck, that is
shoulder.
When he bites her upper shoulder.
Yeah.
Also, I want to clarify that I did Google during that scene, earlier when they're on the dance floor. I just had to check because I'm like, well, Serena is a man. She's supposed to be 16.
Yeah.
Have we got another fucking Friday 13th part 2 situation? Boys, she was about 26, 27 when this was made.
That's good.
So
that's
real Grease territory.
Yep.
Yeah. Charlie was also, I think, like 25. So they're all old.
Yeah. Makes you feel better in real life, but still story-wise, dirty dog.
Very dirty dog.
Absolute fucking dog.
I don't care if she looks like your dead wife. You can wait 3 more years.
Damn straight. Son of a bitch.
Edward Cullen waits 3 more years.
Does he?
Yeah, he waits till she graduates.
Ah, cool. I don't care.
Hang on. Are the vampires in Twilight more respectful than Chris Sarandon?
They're not as sexy, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Tell you what. How are there people, like, you know there's that whole, like, Twilight mums?
Mm.
Right, so I assume when Twilight came out, that would have been around in the 80s, right? They would have seen this movie. Right. How could you have seen this movie and then be like, nah, I'm on fucking that pasty British fucker from Harry Potter. He makes me
Sparkle
horny.
Sparkle boy.
You fucking got Chris Sarandon's right there.
Yeah, look, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't seen this film, you're like, Jesus, boys, settle down on the horniness. Just watch the movie and you'll understand. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Genuinely, it blew my mind how hot he is in that movie. I think my review is just, Chris, I can't even say his name. I'm sorry.
You're flustered.
I'm all wobbly. Chris Sarandon can eat me whole. Is my whole review of Fright Night.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah.
All right. Well, were we scared?
Like, yeah.
Nah, not really.
Yeah.
Aspects of it were creepy.
Worried.
Mm-hmm. Worried. Creeped out.
Grossed out
towards the end. Some of that stuff is fucking so great. Rank. Like, so much better than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Bill melting and his skull flying off his head.
Yeah. Like, that looks better than stuff that I've seen today.
It's huge. It's,
yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But not scared. No. Too much fun.
Oh, yeah. So much fun. And, like, also because, like we said, Sarandon was so genuinely charming.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, am I rooting for him? I don't know what
you
to
forget. You forget. You're like, he's the bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, and also because he's so much more charismatic than Charlie.
Yes.
And Charlie's kind of a dick to Amy. Like, you want him to survive because you want Amy to survive because she's, for me, she's the character you care the most about.
Yep. Agreed, yeah.
But then by the time Peter Vincent comes in, you're like, well, I want Peter to win.
Yeah.
Because he's sensational. That pivot where they're trying to convince him to do the fake out to prove that he's not a vampire so Charlie will chill out. He's like, no, I can't do it. I'm too busy. I'm making a film, which is like, I've got $500 in savings. And he just, I'll do it.
Deal.
That's so lovable.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm worried for people's well-being. Never truly scared. Oh, we haven't even touched on the, like, I keep thinking about Bill melting into a skeleton.
Right.
Evil Ed dying mid-transformation.
His transformation, yeah, that's grotty as.
Deserved it.
It was great to watch.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Couldn't wait for him to die.
Yeah, it was fucking so good. Peter Vincent's react, his face just changing and then changing back.
We get so many reaction transformation.
Yeah, it's so good. I imagine Tom Holland off screen just yelling directions to him. Just giving him everything he's got.
I love it because it's really showing the B-grade actor he's portraying. Yeah. And then he's just got all these range of emotions taking place.
He's got them all. He's got the whole catalogue.
So this is such a movie where it's just like, get some incredible character actors and let them rip.
Yeah.
And they rip.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, I don't think I could ever say I was scared, but had a very good time.
Oh yeah.
A lot of fun.
That final like fight sequence is stressful. You don't want obviously, when actually, you know, it is creepy and kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
When Amy comes down to the basement and opens her mouth.
Oh, that mouth just goes. Yeah, good call.
That's good. That's fucked up.
That was kind of like what I've seen recently in like The Witches with Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, yeah.
That, but in this more effective, I think.
kind of. Like, that's the thing about prosthetics is that even though there is that hint of, well, I know they're fake.
Yeah.
They're still grotty to look at.
Yeah.
They're still unpleasant to be viewing.
Oh, yeah. It's that kind of, because they are a bit, like, because they're prosthetics, they're also kind of wrong.
It's because they're not polished.
Yeah.
CGI, you're like, you get it perfect. Whereas this, it's like, it's a bit off.
Yeah.
And it makes it yuck.
It actually adds to it.
Yeah. I agree completely.
It's even the beat leading up to that, which, you know, her hair's out and she's like, you wouldn't let him get to me. And he reaches towards her and she just does that slow.
He drops the crucifix.
Oh, yeah.
Big idiot.
Mm-hmm. Big dummy.
Sucked in by A, horniness, because those nipples could take your eyes out.
Yeah. They were honestly sharper than fangs.
So they were actually read the whole fake. She had to wear this. Basically, she got vampire breasts. It's basically a thing for some reason. Which, like, I think this was even, there was a book or something at some point someone wrote. And they included the vampire breasts and how once she got turned back to normal, she got to keep them. Which is just wild.
As in the character or the actress?
No, the character. So the
character kept them.
This story is like rewritten as a book or a graphic novel or something like that. And it included a whole bunch more shit.
Sure.
Including that vampire breasts are a thing.
Okay. Yep.
And that, hey, one of the perks of being turned into a vampire and then back into a regular human, you get to keep those sweet breasts.
I like to imagine that, if you're a lady vampire, you get better tits. And you keep it, because I guess the idea is that you got to be like attractive and seductive.
Right.
And if you're a man vampire, you just get a huge dong.
Yeah. Okay.
you get as hot as Chris Sarandon.
I reckon you get your washboard abs and a fucking ripper dong.
Yeah.
And you get to keep it.
You get a big old bat.
Yeah. He's on the washboard abs. Another thing I love about Chris Sarandon, he's a very attractive man, but he's also just got regular man bod.
Yeah.
Like he's not, by today's standards of, you know, everyone has to have
his veins aren't popping.
Yeah. But I like, if anything, I find that more charming.
Yeah.
He's so hot. I actually can't concentrate on anything else.
I know, Tom.
I'm going to need to have a long, cold shower. I'm going to have to go sit in the ocean for a bit.
Go on.
Just cool off. Fuck.
All right. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Pretty foolishly.
Pretty foolishly. Like, look.
Charlie does the best he can.
He has a go. Does he has a crack. I don't know why. So he gets a cop. That's fine. Yep. Great. There should be more than enough evidence of that house, really.
Then he loses his mind.
Why does he go into the house with the cop? That's bonkers to me.
I blame the cop for that.
Yeah,
that's on the cop.
Also, Charlie, he thinks there's a murderous vampire in this house.
Yeah.
He's very confident striding into that house.
Calm as can be.
It's like, mate, tell the cops and fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Bad cop. Don't bring the fucking the witness in with you and be like, it was him. He said it was you.
Yeah. Crazy. As well as like Charlie should know how mad the story, like One, that they're going to cover their tracks.
Yeah.
He obviously withholds the vampire thing up until he's in the house. And then, of course, as soon as he does, the cop's like, all right, fuck off, kid. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But he needs to find evidence first.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a go-to.
Him blurting out the vampire thing would have worked if the cop was like, okay, everything seems fine. And he's, you know, desperate as he's dragging him out the door.
Right.
And it's like, no, 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 he's a vampire. And then the cop could be like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Right.
But yeah, he just lost his mind.
Yeah, like, just grab a mirror off the wall.
Yeah.
Like, prove it in the moment.
Yeah. Stupid, really. Also, when Jerry comes up into Charlie's room and gives him the choice, just forget. You forget everything. I mean, wouldn't you just take the choice, Charlie?
yeah.
Like, what are you going to do in that moment? What he chose to do was stab him with a pencil at an angle and a depth where that pencil would have gone into Charlie's throat.
Yeah.
That's 100%. A crazy scene. Oh. And then he stabs him, and Jerry does this weird, like, spinning thing.
Yes, like, he does. There's a pirouette. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like wood, right? Being stabbed by wood.
It must be the wood, yeah.
Yeah.
But fuck it up.
Oh, this movie's great.
Yeah. That's, yeah. If I didn't already know, I loved it. That was the moment. That's so fucking good. And the mum comes in and goes, you want a Valium, honey?
Oh, yes. Drug mum? Yes, yeah. Please.
The 80s were great.
But yeah, I will say, like, Charlie does make some right calls. I think the decision to go to Peter Vincent, while in ridiculous because he's an actor, but it's like, what other choice does he have?
Yeah, that's what you would do, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is in an era where, like, you believe the people on TV. So it would have been an element of, well, I think this guy's real. I think, because it's clear that Peter Vincent has been around for 1,000 years, basically, on TV. Look,
fantastic actor. He sells it on TV every week.
Yeah, that's it.
You would go to him for help. Damn straight.
So, look, yeah, I guess he does a few good things, but then even, like, he knows that none of his friends believe him or that Peter Vincent believes him. So when they go to the house to prove with the holy water, like, part of him must be thinking, well, this isn't going to work. That, like, that's not holy water.
Yeah. The holy water is like the weakest test you could have done.
Right. Yeah. Again, he's already seen that that Sarandon doesn't have a reflection.
Yeah. So do the mirror.
Bring your own mirror. Like, it's such the easiest go.
I mean, and also Sarandon has attacked him. And revealed that he is a vampire.
Yeah,
yeah. Charlie pulls out his crucifix, and Jerry and his mate react to it, like, quite obviously.
Yes.
But no one's looking.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And that
true.
In itself is like, yeah, come on. Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit frustrating at times.
Joe is sold beautifully is Peter Vincent's genuine terror when he drops, when he's looking in the mirror to check something and he turns around and sees that Sarandon doesn't have a reflection.
Yeah.
And he just loses his tiny little talcum powdered mind.
It's great.
And then even that he goes straight, he's packing as soon as he gets home.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, he's just done. Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, like, arguably from our cowardly point of view, that's wise.
Yeah. Like, he's my hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love him.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then the rest of the characters, like, Amy, I think, is pretty wise. Like, she obviously, she just wants to help Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not really buying in.
She thinks they're helping him. Like, even, I think you're saying that, you know, why does Charlie let him do that? I think he's at his wit's end. And she says, no, let us go and talk to him.
Mm.
And he loves and he trusts her. He believes that she's going to look out for him. And she's like, if I do this, it'll help Charlie.
Yes.
Because there's no fucking way you believe the neighbor is a vampire.
No.
But unfortunately, he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, a bit of a mixed bag there, I reckon.
Yeah.
All right. What would we do?
Boys, I've got some bad news for you both.
It's not surprising news.
So either I am dead or I'm a vampire.
I think you'd just be like, do you need another right-hand man?
Do you need another bill?
Do you need another bill? That one melted. I'll take his place.
Yeah.
You're Evil Ed.
Yeah, I probably am.
Oh, you are a bit Evil Ed.
Without the annoying, like...
No, you're the annoying cunt we want to kill.
But also, yeah, his thing of being like, no one will ever bully you again. He doesn't want to turn me. And I'm like, I want to spend every day with you. And he's like, oh, okay, this is easy.
Oh, wow. He would start to try to do the convincing. You're like,
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
you
in.
Were just a meal to him. But then you were like, no, every day, please.
And every day. He's like, I was going to eat you. And I'm like, hey, do you want to kill my two friends who know that you live here? And he's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, yeah, turn me into a vampire. I'll do whatever you want.
Go in that house and Tom's just doing the vacuuming and the laundry.
It's like, oh,
anything
boys,
else, Jer? Hey, boys. Oh, man, it's so good living here. Just like, just get to look at the sexiest thing on earth. Every day.
I can see you, like, also wearing, like, whatever outfit he's wearing. You've chosen to wear the exact same outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Scarf collection.
Yeah.
You've always got an apple in your pocket ready to give to him.
In your cocket.
I've got an apple. Is that an apple in your pocket, or are you just happy to see Jerry?
Jerry, did you want another apple? I've got one right here.
So, look, boys, I'm sorry, but you have the impossible challenge of I have betrayed you probably faster than I've ever betrayed you in this in this history of this podcast.
Yeah. What's Jerry eating? Apples, is it?
Apples, yeah.
You'd just be eating bananas. And we would hate it. We'd be trying to talk to him, but what are you doing? What could you? Why'd you do this to us, Tommy? Just shoving bananas in your face.
Just in the most phallic way possible.
Just getting into practice.
Okay, how do we...
For our end, obviously we've lost the late, great Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Can, for this scenario, can he please still be alive when we go get me the Cush?
Definitely. Yeah. We get the Cush.
Yeah. So we bring the Cush in.
We got to kill
now
Tom.
Now Tom's Now Tom's conflicted.
Oh, that's what we've got to do. We've got to match Tom. All right, we've got to find someone who's just as sexy as Jeff. So we bring back Peter Cushing.
We bring Cush at his prime.
Yeah, prime.
This is the 80s.
So prime when he's about 70.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Yeah.
It's a sweater off.
Age to perfection.
Yes. The fine wine of Cush versus Jer Bear. What are you going
to
do?
Tom just gets ripped in half.
My brain shuts down long enough for you guys to be able to take on Jerry, I think.
Okay, so he's out of the way.
Yeah. You're basically a bit of a vampire expert at this point.
Yep.
You've read so much vampire shit. That
I kind of like what they do with the sunlight.
Yeah, that's quite
like
cool.
Jerry's not like... I think he's clever, but he loves the game, right?
Too confident.
So he's too confident, and like he's living in a sexy bubble.
Yes.
Gets everything he wants.
Yeah.
So I think we do just have to distract him
with
Cush, with Tom, with Tom's banana.
If he's distracted trying to convince Tom to his side, him and Cush are playing a tug of war long enough for us to get the sun in.
We need the sun.
Yeah.
I think we can, We just don't go there as soon as it gets dark. We wait until, closer to dawn.
Yeah.
Also, Cush is the greatest hunter of them all.
Yeah.
Jerry would be like, a challenge, delicious.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? They might both forget about Tom and just try to, seduce each other.
So then we just have to deal with sunlight.
Yeah.
So we just have to smash that big window, basically.
And you've got
to
get rid of Bill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Fuck him.
How'd they melt Bill? What was that in the end?
They stab him through the heart.
Oh,
like
that's easy.
Like a vampire.
Yeah.
We've got a whole belt of fucking...
Right. Yeah.
He's easy. I think we can get rid of him.
I like to imagine there's a scene now in this version of the film where you guys are off, smashing windows. And like in a movie where a dog has been split between the villains and the heroes and they're both calling the dog, I'm the dog.
Yeah.
I'm in dog form. Yeah. So I've turned into the wolf version of me.
Yeah.
And I'm being like cushion and and whoever I choose, my brain shuts down, I just go into a coma.
Yeah. You pass out.
Yeah.
We drag you into the shadows.
Yeah.
We smash all the windows.
I'm glad you boys make sure I'm alive still.
Yeah.
You're so still our boy.
Cush is fighting and distracting Jerry.
Yeah.
And we're going around the house smashing every window, pulling every curtain.
Done.
And then by the time Cush is ready, boom, sunlight, we win.
And we get to meet our hero.
That's right.
Oh, man. This great movie also has a great result.
We all get what we want.
Yeah, you especially.
Yeah.
You get to be fought over by two of the hottest men in history.
And then we're like, yeah, we won. And then Cush leaves and then Tom just gets in the car with him and drives off.
I need a new master, boys.
Yeah.
Well, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
Horny Tom.
Very horny Tom.
And if you listeners would like to suggest a movie or just say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at @scaredyboys or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Orchid Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Chris Sarandon can eat me whole.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.